Brethren, if you would turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for helping us even during this day to hear reports about your great work that is taking place in other parts of the world. How we rejoice to know that as you, as the Lord of the church, continuing to work throughout the world, now we pray that you would also help us to consider your word, and Father, that we might be given the help from above and the understanding of your word, even as we consider this verse that is before us. Grant us help, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Now here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, is part of a long section of discourse that Jesus had with his disciples. Now, this discourse begins in chapter 24, and you notice it runs through to the end of chapter 25. Now, the discourse focuses on the signs of the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus had alluded to that in chapter 23, as well as the disciples' minds were already contemplating on these things. But when he said in chapter 24 and verse 2, notice what Jesus said, that, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now that got the disciples thinking. Now why did Jesus say that? Now verse 1, you notice that when Jesus came out of the temple, and the disciples also came out along with him, and they began to show our Lord the buildings of the temple. And then Jesus made this great and amazing statement, saying, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone will be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, I don't think the disciples would have expected that from Jesus. They wanted our Lord to consider this great and amazing temple, but now he actually made this statement that would have really shocked them. Now then, it is at that time the disciples asked Jesus, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus' answer to their question, the statement, made them to think deeply about what Jesus said. So they said, "Tell me, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Now, then Jesus began to give a detailed information about the signs of his second coming in chapters 24 and 25. But notice that he didn't answer the first part of the question. They were wanting a sign of his coming, or they were asking Jesus to tell us exactly when are you going to come. But Jesus didn't answer that. But he did tell them in clarity and great detail about the events that are going to take place prior to his coming. And that's what we see here. Jesus didn't say that all these things that I'm going to outline to you are going to take place in maybe in a few hours before I come. That's not what he's saying here. But he bundled up on all these events that are going to take place. Some of these events are going to take place immediately after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, not long after that. And there are other things that are going to take place in this world, and some of those things will take place prior to his coming. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. And in the middle of that great discourse, that Jesus made this statement as well. Matthew Henry, he says this about this, that what Christ said to his disciples tended more to promote caution than to satisfy their curiosity, more to prepare them for the results, events that should happen, than to give a distinct idea of the events. On the time before I got here this morning, I saw a building with a sign, End Time Ministries. And I think Brother Dino told me that it's a big thing here. And their ministers, I wonder what that they would say about these two chapters that we have here. Now Jesus surely had a different idea altogether about end times. In the middle of this great teaching about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the events that are going to take place, our Lord made this great statement. Here we have a promise, you call it a prophecy. And Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The many signs that Jesus outlined here were sad, unfavorable, and lamentable things. The picture that he painted about the days preceding his coming were dark. But thank God, dark may it be, those days are not absolutely bleak. Earth will never be turned into a hell. At least a few signs of Jesus' coming are positive. The verse that is before us here in chapter 24, 14 speaks of one of those positive signs of the times. This verse reminds us of one of the wonderful missionary activities of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in our day. The activity that is so great that our earth deserves to be designated as the missionary age. Now, with that in mind, let's open up this verse this afternoon. Jesus says that the end will come when the gospel of the kingdom shall have been preached to in all the world as a witness to all nations. So let's unpack this prophecy under four headings this afternoon. Consider with me, first of all, the misrepresentation of the prophecy. Now, the prophecy does not say that the gospel will be preached to every individual. Some people think that all nations will have to be converted before the return of Jesus Christ. Postmillennialism makes that error. What is it? Now they say that the world is gradually getting better and humanity is becoming more Christ-like. They believe that through the missionary efforts, religious and moral beliefs of the world will progress, and after a period, the world will be Christianized. This, they say, will be the golden age, a millennium, a thousand years of undisturbed peace on earth. They will have free play, but only for a short season. It says that at the close of that thousand-year period, the forces of evil will be let loose, but they will have free play, but only for a short period. Then suddenly Christ will come and deal with the enemy. Now, Jesus, in these two chapters, is teaching nothing of that kind. The text does not say all nations will be converted. It says all nations will hear the gospel. The gospel will be preached as a testimony unto all nations. The text even adds that the gospel will be preached as a witness to all nations. Now that implies that all will not accept the message. It will be preached everywhere. Every nation will be given an opportunity to hear the gospel, but all are not going to believe the gospel. So the text is quite opposite to what post-millennialism teaches. Now, does it mean that when we preach the gospel as a testimony to all the nations, that we should be concerned as to whether they are going to accept it? Does it follow, since all nations will never be Christianized, that we need not try to Christianize them? No is the answer. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28 and verses 18 to 20? Make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations. Someone may ask, if all nations will never become Christ's disciples, what is the point of taking Christ's command seriously? We all pursue after perfection as Christians, though we will never be perfect in this side of heaven. We pray that God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, but it will never be perfectly done in this world. In the same way, our work is to make disciples of all nations, though all nations will only be evangelized. They will only be evangelized. Now there's another question. Why must Christ's return wait for the evangelization of the world? Why cannot Christ return until the gospel has been preached to every nation? Now the answer to this question is that Christ gives all nations an opportunity to turn to Him in order that on the judgment day, a single nation will not be able to say to Him, I never heard the gospel. When the nations hear the gospel, that the light of the gospel will shine on all the people groups. Another reason why Christ will not come until the nations are evangelized is that God's love embraces the world. Are we not familiar with the verse in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then again in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, it speaks about God who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It also means that the elect of God live in all nations. Jesus said to the Apostle Paul in Corinth, remember that when Paul was met with opposition that he was ready to leave? He couldn't take it anymore. But what did Jesus say to the Apostle? He said, I have much people in this city. I have much people in this city. All the elect must and will come to Christ. They must hear the gospel and come to Christ. So the gospel must be preached as a witness to all nations in this world. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and we read, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Well, secondly, consider with me the sobering truth revealed in this prophecy. There is a sobering truth that we observe in this prophecy of Jesus Christ that has got to be understood in the context in which Jesus makes this promise or prophecy. At the time Jesus said these words, the nation of Israel was in trouble. The nation was under the Roman rule. The believers are far and few in those days. The word of God was kept alive, but the world was taken up with paganism and God was not honored in the world. One cannot say that the world was prospering, or the word of God was prospering rather, and the worship of God was desired by men. Remember, in the earlier days, the prophets themselves were ridiculed and they were killed. Now Jesus himself, he the Son of Man, is here in the world. He is preaching and teaching and performing great miracles. But how many did believe in Jesus Christ? Very soon Jesus is going to be put to death. Men are ridiculing him. They were opposing him. He is going to face the cross. They are going to stab him. They are going to spat on him. Then they are also going to put him to death on that cross. That's going to happen very soon. False religion in the name of God was thriving among the Jews under the Pharisees and the scribes. Yes, they were teaching about God and the teaching about the laws of God, but Christ was not there in their message. It's a Christless teaching that we're providing to people. At Jesus' time, the world was a Roman world. They ruled most of the nations. And they were worldly. And they had no time or heart for God. Drinking, women, parties, and immorality filled their lives. In a sense, one can say that everything one would think as negative were present in the society. And that offered the picture that the gospel work was struggling. But in the midst of these negatives, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ moved forward. Very soon, in history, the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be established. But Jesus must first suffer. And he must be put to death. That must take place before the church is to be established in this world. Now the man and the world, by looking at all these things that I just outlined, will think and say that it will be the end of the gospel. Christ is going to be put to death. The apostles are going to struggle. Now we can see the gospel is not going to make advance. All is going to come to an end. That is exactly the men of the world would say by looking at all the things that are taking place. But we know that it is through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ the gospel is going to make progress. It must happen. And the gospel would continue. Amazing, isn't it? Jesus says the gospel will be preached as a testimony unto all the nations, then I will come. All these things will happen. All may look gloomy and difficult and struggle and persecution, but the gospel is going to make progress. It will advance. Unstoppable. What about our day? We observe all these negatives in our day. One can think about many negatives. Individualism rules the society in our day. It's all about me. Me, me, and me. Humanism. Pragmatism. Our brother spoke about that. And anti-authoritarianism thrives in the society. People do not desire the gospel by nature. One would say that we are living in dark days. The church is decaying and it appears to be powerless in the world. At least in New Zealand. Every other religious people can make a statement, but not Christians. Not Christians. You will have to be quiet. Last year there was a billboard. Somebody has paid for it, you know, with a black billboard. With white letters, there is no God. That's all over the city. A bold statement. They are against God and against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most Western nations have turned liberal and apostate nations. Yet Jesus is saying here that the gospel will be preached as a testimony in all nations around the world, and then I will come. It is in the light of all these negatives that the gospel is going to move forward. It is going to advance. The negative things that we see in our societies and around us ought not to be a discouragement to us, including the problems that we heard about in India, Pakistan, and the war in Sri Lanka and so on. These are negative things, but yet they're not going to stop the progress of the gospel. These ought not to be a discouragement to us. This will be, and this will continue to be. Didn't Jesus say that in chapters 24 and 25? But the gospel will move forward. Someone said to me during the year that the whole world is caught up in this recession and New Zealand is surviving somewhat. But he said, that's going to get worse. We haven't seen the recession yet. Is only going to get worse. And the day is going to come, he said, that even you yourself won't be able to continue with your work because churches won't be supporting. The recession is going to be bad and people are going to struggle and they are not going to support mission work. Now surely that's a very negative thing. What he's serious about, and this brother is a businessman who was in the real estate and he knows what he's talking about, is being realistic. But that's a very negative thing. But I remember saying to him that God kept the word alive in Elisha's day. There was poverty, famine. The kings and the people of the society were not interested in God or in the religion. There were sons of the prophets who were struggling for food. And Elisha continued with his ministry. And didn't we say there was a woman and a husband who provided for Elisha's ministry during those days? There was another wealthy woman who supported the sons of the prophets by feeding them. God kept the word alive even during those dark days. The gospel, it progress. But everything we read in the book of 2 Kings are negative things. Well, there were great things, great exploits about Elisha's ministry. He came with great miracles that he did. But yet, there were difficulties, many negative things, but yet the word was kept alive and the gospel was marching forward during these days. The same way that the Lord will keep the word preached in our day, no matter how dark the days will appear to be. The decaying visible church and darkness in the society is not going to stop the progress of the gospel. Rather, it is this very situation that is going to drive the gospel forward before Christ comes. The gospel will be preached as a testimony in all the nations, then I will come. That Jesus. 2009, the war in Sri Lanka came to an end, 3 years ago. And prior to that, for a few years, there was terrible war. The government forces and the tigers, they were at each other. I think it was nearly about 300,000 people had to move away from their homes and lands and push to the seashores. Bombs were falling everywhere. Churches, many churches in those areas, people had to move away. They all were in the refugee camps. Over 300,000 people. Now the men in the world would look at it, that's the end of the church. That's the end of the gospel.
But what was happening in the refugee camps? There was worship going on. These men, pastors, are holding services in these camps. They had more numbers in their worship service than they ever had before. And these people were, all these people were coming to worship. 300, 400 were meeting on Sundays. Bible studies were going on. Gospel was preached freely to all men during those days. Amazing opportunity God gave to them. Normally the people who wouldn't step into a church were willing to be there and hear the gospel and worship God. God did it. The war is over. People were back to their places, where the churches are being, buildings are being constructed for churches to have worship. And these people who evangelized are coming into the churches. That's how God works. Yes, the war, 300,000 people fleeing their homes and lands, and they are in refugee camps. Those were dark realities, they were negatives. But God has a purpose. He has a purpose. He was working. He was working, taking the gospel into every home, into those Tamil homes. Brethren, these dark negative things that we see in the world are not going to stop the progress of the gospel. They're only going to help advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the encouragement the prophecy offers. The encouragement the prophecy offers. Jesus made this promise. It will be preached. It's not if. There is no element of doubt in the words of Jesus. It will be preached. The gospel will be preached in all nations. Every nation. Of course, the nation there ought to be taken as people groups of all the nations. When the gospel goes into the nation, the people groups are going to hear the gospel. We saw how many languages in the world that the Bible is being translated, or people are making effort to translate them. Even at this very moment as we speak, Jesus' words are being fulfilled. People that we will never see in our lifetime, countries we will never travel to in our lifetime, and the gospel is being taken into those places by somebody. It will be preached. And Jesus is going to make sure that this gospel will be preached in all nations. The people will have no excuse before Jesus Christ on the judgment day to say, I don't know anything about it. Because our Lord is saying, the Sovereign Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is saying, it will be preached. Then I will come. Matthew 28 and the great promise, great command that Jesus gave there is being fulfilled. You see how in the book of Acts, we see the apostles taking the gospel to all corners of this world, beginning from Jerusalem. It is reaching unto every people group in the world. And we see very soon the church was planted and made great progress. And churches are being planted everywhere. In New Zealand, on the Lord's Day, we begin worship for the rest of the nation. And then every other nation joins in at the great chorus, as it were. And people are worshiping. And when we go to bed on the Sunday night, worship is being held somewhere in the corner of the world. And the same with you. And the gospel is being preached. It's being shared around. And it's continuing, whether we like it or not. I don't think I ever thought that I would be in Gujarat ministering to the people. I thought, well, among the Tamil people, that's where I'm going to work. And then the Macedonian call came all the way from Gujarat, a place I haven't been to before, and I don't know the language. But the Lord raised a man over there who could speak six languages. and reading the Bible lamp. For 5 years he read the Bible lamp. And this man was working for a mission agency. And about 100 people worked under him. He planted churches, he showed me. But they were not churches, he said. I made many mistakes. The Lord was using that little magazine to speak to him. One day, the burden was too much for him. He sat down and wrote a resignation letter to the organization. And another letter to me. Come and help. And that's how the church was planted in the end, in Gujarat. A state where there is anti-conversion law, that every difficulty that you can think about, it is there. And if a Christian, if he is going to purchase a land, well, you're going to be very much restricted. And you can't, when you go to register that, it is for Christian worship, then probably the state government would not give permission. Will ask all sorts of questions. Take baptism, everything. There will be difficulties and problems. There's also a place where the Hindu people are quiet anti-Christian. And there are Muslims who are anti-Hindus. And they are okay with Christians, but with a suspicious eye. They move around them. But yet there is a church. Though he's opened in Gujarat to have meetings in villages and to present the gospel. That's not just in Gujarat, in many places around the world. There will be opposition, difficulties in the world. But Jesus says, it will be preached. It will be preached. It will keep advancing. You know, last year that I received a letter from a man from Indonesia. He requested for Tamil literature. And I wrote back and said, now why would you want Tamil literature? You are in a country, it's the largest Muslim population in the world. Because I never heard there are Tamils in that place. I thought he probably visited a website and he misunderstood the whole thing, and he thought probably he wants an English copy of the magazine. But he wrote back in a long letter. It's amazing. He gave the history of how the Tamil people from India and traveled all over to Indonesia and settled there. And he ministers in a fourth largest district in Indonesia, or a state or a district in Indonesia. There's about 150 people. There are Tamil speaking people and a church there. Who ever thought? So we sent the magazine and the literature to this man. That is in Indonesia. And he ministers in that language among these people. That's not an easy place to minister either. And God is working. Now all these things should not encourage us. Because Jesus says, it will be preached. And I believe that our day is a day of opportunities because of Jesus' words. That's what we believe. It will be preached, and it is continuing to be preached even at this very moment as we speak. The opportunities are right out there. Yes, there are also days of opportunities to make money, make our lives better in this world. And I think most people believe that even recession can be a time of opportunity for many people to make money and to make their life better. But what I'm saying is that this is the day of opportunities to evangelize the nations. There are many opportunities. We heard about some of these opportunities. The gospel is being taken into areas where people are able to hear it. We can assist people in so many ways. Jesus said, it will be preached. It will be preached as a testimony unto all nations. The gospel is being preached, and men and women, young people and children are given opportunity to hear the gospel. It is preached as a testimony. That means they are able to hear. And Jesus saying to them through a preacher, either you are with me or against me. It is not a wishy-washy gospel. And Christ is saying, I am the living one. Either you are with me or against me. They are going to be given that opportunity to hear the gospel. It is going forward, brethren. Everywhere. It will be preached. Every people group, language group, the gospel will be preached. We must be encouraged by the words of Jesus Christ. What a great encouragement it is. Even to you here in Dallas. The Lord is working. He is working. Finally, look at the rapid fulfillment of the prophecy. The rapid fulfillment of the prophecy. How long it is going to take to evangelize the world before Christ returns? I wish I know the answer. But I don't. None of us know that. But one thing is certain. That is that the fulfillment of this prophecy, in my view, is nearing its end rapidly. They were in a short span of time. Now the gospel is advancing into many places. The things that people were not able to do in times of William Carey and other men, we are able to do in a short span of time with all these modern technologies that are available to us, that we are able to take the gospel to places just sitting right in our study room. Don't you believe that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is nearing? Because the gospel is making great advancement in this world and great progress. It is going into nations. It's more or so now than 50 years ago. Yes. Really marvel that, you know, to produce that magazine in the Tamil language. Even when we started, I didn't have any much help with that one. Just the computer and me. And you can put that program running with 247 characters and you memorize everything in your head, the corresponding letters, and you type it in an English keyboard. And you can do everything in the computer. And get a PDF file and send it in an email, and one push of a button, it goes to the printer. He doesn't have to do any work, but I haven't done everything. He simply takes it, throws it into the magazine, or into the machine. Within 15, 20 minutes, there's a magazine on the other side of the magazine. Send it around the world. You can make that available in so many ways today. So many formats. Technology is helping us, making things easy. Just imagine on the day when Carey had to do all this translation work and there's a terrible fire, everything was destroyed. We can preserve everything that we have now with half a dozen hard drives and you put it on a cloud. Mind-boggling what you can do today. Talk to people. One of our men in our church, he's about 84 years old, a Tamil pastor who was pastoring churches in India. He's settled in New Zealand. He's in our congregation. So energetic man, an 84 year old and evangelistically minded. He said that I got to do something. He uses his phone to speak to people in India, evangelizing them. And he'll talk about it. What did I do during the week? He'll talk to us about it. And asking for prayer, using the phone, talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Only believe the words of Jesus. He says that it will be preached, then I will come. He is making sure the word is preached, the gospel is preached everywhere, and he is making rapid progress. This prophecy that we have here is nearing its end.
and the Lord is going to come, making great progress around the world even at this very moment. Henry Martin and William Carey and Judson, they had to travel many months, even years, to get to their destination. And the monies that they sent and the goods that they sent were lost on the way. Carey had to rely on his own hands and plant things to feed himself and his fellow workers. Things took a long, long, long time to get things done. But today, you fly. 20 years ago when I went to India, there was not even good hotels for me to stay. The roads were terrible. I don't think they had domestic flights at that time. And if they, even if there were any, I don't think I was prepared to fly by the horrible stories I was hearing. They never on the air. They come down very soon. It took a while for me to have confidence on when they had a new airlines and people were confidently flying. I used to take a 10-hour train from Chennai to Madurai. You get in about 8:30 and you sleep all night and you're there early morning, 6 o'clock. But now within 45 minutes I can get there and do more work, saving time. Don't you see that the gospel will be preached and as testimony unto all nations? Then I will come and see the intensity of Christ's words is being done rapidly and more faster than ever before. And people are coming to Christ and entering into the kingdom of God more than ever before. What's happening, brethren? There's so much here to be thankful for, to God. So much here in the words of Christ to be encouraged for the work of the gospel. That's happening everywhere. And if you're not a believer here, I'm not going to assume all of us know Jesus Christ. Maybe someone here, you don't believe in Christ yet? Notice what Jesus is saying here. The gospel will be preached as a testimony unto all the nations in the world. Then I will come. He is coming. And you are given an opportunity to hear the gospel, and through some preacher or through a radio message or a tract you read, and Jesus is saying to you, either you are with me or against me. It is a witness. It's like a man standing on a court and testifying to somebody. He is honest. He is true. And I am with him. And Jesus is saying that. And you have an obligation to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to repent from your sin and embrace Christ by grace through faith. You cannot escape. You will have to stand on the judgment day and you are answerable to Jesus Christ. You can't bring any excuses whatsoever before God on that day. Jesus says, it will be preached. And you have been given an opportunity to hear that gospel. If you have not believed in Jesus Christ yet, come to Him, because He is coming. He is coming. Then I will come. Then I will come, and there's going to be a judgment day. We all will have to stand before Him. Those who do not believe in Jesus Christ are going to give an account to Him on that day. What are you going to say to Christ on that day? A great promise, a great prophecy, it will take place. What do we learn? Well, the prophecy here is an encouragement to us to be evangelistically minded and to be energetic in this work. We need to do everything we could in our time to take this gospel everywhere. Are not supposed to be a kind of frozen chosen. You understand what it means? And to be a hyper-Calvinist.
Go out and share the gospel with people. I'm sure in your own homes, among your friends, at workplace, the people who do not know Jesus Christ. Are we making effort to tell them about Jesus Christ and our love for Jesus Christ and to give them a testimony? Are we doing it? It ought to encourage us to do all we could in our day. Because this work is taking place. Are we going to be part of it or not? Are we going to believe in Jesus' words or not? Should we not be enthusiastic about it? Right? Throw all your energy into it. Well, yesterday, last night, because in New Zealand it's tomorrow. Sometimes I don't know where I am. And the All Blacks that played the game of rugby, you probably don't know much about it or heard about it. Well, think about baseball, but it's much more tougher than the American football, because they don't wear any helmet or pads or anything. There's these big guys, and some of them will look like beasts, and they play this rugby game. And New Zealand is the number one team, and they are very good at it. So whenever we play against, our team plays against the Wallabies, that is the Australians, well, the whole game goes into another level with a high intensity. Well, they played last night, and it was a draw. And it must have been a tough, tough game. Not going to give in to each other. And they fought hard, and it was a draw. And these men were resolute. You see, Australia has lost so many games against us. It's the last game and the last opportunity for the year. So they put their heart and soul battling out there. And New Zealand has won every game they played for throughout this year. So they don't want to lose and embarrass themselves in front of the nation. So they put their heart and soul to battle it out all for this game. We have a glorious business, brethren, to take the message of the King of Kings to all nations. Right? And God is promising to save people. He has an elect in this world. He is drawing them unto Himself. Surely they all will come. All that my Father has given unto me, they will come, He says. And they are only going to come when we go out and preach the gospel to them. And it must be preached. And God is using His people to do that work, His church to do that work, His missionaries to do that work. And He's using you to do that work. Should we not be enthusiastic about that and go out with much encouragement? What an enthusiasm people show in other things of the world. We have a gospel that will work, that's going to bring life to people. Dead sinners are going to be raised, absolutely dead in sin. And the eyes are going to be opened. They're going to be given life through the work of the Holy Spirit and regeneration. They're going to come to faith in Jesus Christ and come to have life in Christ. Glorious work. Do you show enthusiasm? You believe in Jesus Christ? It is an encouragement to us to be evangelistically minded and to be energetic in sharing the gospel with all men. But God help us to do that. And that is why it is just planted right here in the middle of this prophecy. As Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. And I will come. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank You for the way in which that You have drawn us together
the love of Christ, that we are able to come together and to hear about your great work in many places, and even to be under the ministry of your word and to be reminded of the great promise of yours. O Lord, O God, it is a work for which that you have called us. It is a work that you are doing in this world. We are your servants. We do not have any power or strength in ourselves to do this work, but we go out relying upon you alone fully to do this work. You supply all our needs and all the resources for this great work. But you want us to be enthusiastic about it. You want us to love the souls of men, and out of that love to go and preach the word. We thank you for your promise of Christ. And we thank you for your words that you said, you will come because the end is coming. Thank you for helping us. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.